My professional musical journey started in 2010. I got signed to a deal, released records. 2017, I came into Streamline Purpose. That was the time that I started thinking beyond myself. I started thinking for Christian creatives whose expression don't fall into the expected praise, worship, and joy. I started thinking more about the community and I started to build without knowing I was building.
I feel like some of the criticisms you're faced with the music is people saying this is a little too modernized. How have you navigated those sort of critiques?
Shine for Jesus anywhere you enter. Money for shine for Jesus anywhere you enter.
Some people build songs. Gaze Baba builds systems of light. For a decade, he performed at schools that never invited him, believing you don't wait for demand, you create it.
When no turning back blew up, because it blew up on TikTok, blew up on IG, blew up on Facebook. Yeah. Like, it wasn't out. People were putting pressure on us to release it because they couldn't wait to hear it. I've never seen it before.
Yeah, but how did the collaboration happen in the first place? Especially because both of you are so unlikely.
I like that word.
Unlikely.
On this episode of the Afropolitan Podcast, we sit with Gaze Baba to talk about purpose, artistry, and the courage to build lights in a world still learning how to see.
My mom passed 15th of April. Yeah. We released No Turning Back 16th of May.
What did that feel like in that moment and how did you navigate it?
We see the tweets and every single day what we see is we love Afropolitan. This podcast is underrated. This is the best podcast ever. But the problem is 82% of you are not subscribers, but I know you guys are watching. So I need you to click the subscribe button so you can join the Afropolitan family. Thank you. Guys, so when someone clicks into your specific video on the Afropolitan podcast, they may be working out, they may be on the way to work, they may be going on a long road trip. So the first thing I want you to tell our audience is, how did you even get into gospel? Like, just give us the breakdown of how that even happened.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Chika. Thanks, Ichi. Hey, right. So initially, I thought you were greeting the people. But as you kept talking, I figured you were calling me.
Yeah.
So it's Gaze.
Gaze. Okay.
Right. So it came up sounding like guys.
Guys.
Okay. Yeah. So it's Gaze Baba. Yeah, basically. How did I get into gospel?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm a church boy, mm-hmm. born a church boy. But then even when you're born a church boy, it doesn't mean that you have it doesn't mean you take faith seriously. Because there are several people born church folk who don't take faith seriously. In fact, most people who are atheists now are born into religious homes.
Yeah.
You know, so I think my personal encounter was kind of like when I was 18, or I'll say the transition was kind of like between when I was 16 and 18, but the turning point, or like the main point, and I'm like, okay, boom, I'm going to live my life, or live a life based on faith and live a life for God. It was when I was 18, you know, and that was also around the same time, or shortly after, that I really started to take music seriously and started to write. So I was writing from that place. I was writing from that experience, you know. So I was, when I was in KC, because I went to King's College. When I was in KC and I was the average, normal guy who liked juicy girls or aspired to VF girls or whatever I was, I wasn't trying to make music all that period. So maybe if I tried to make music then, I mean, I might have been writing about what the average teenager in high school thinks about, you know. But by the time I started making music, I was already big on faith and I had a personal relationship with God by then.
You know what's funny? So my own relationship with Christ, you know how you said a lot of folks who are atheists actually were born into religious homes. And that was somewhat of my journey. I don't know if I was fully an atheist, but I definitely turned away from Christianity for a while, and I've made my way back ever since. Oh, no.
Welcome.
After life shows you, Shingi, you'll find your way back. You'll find your way back. But I remember I was also a choir leader. I went to boarding school in Bagada. I was a choir leader, and my story was, you know, we're doing all these songs, and at some point I now started remixing worldly plus religion. So I think there was a song like the Diddy song, Missing You, Every Step I Take,
Every Move I Make.
Now I added some gospel into it as well. And we were doing this, and the church was booming. Students were happy. Everything was going on until one day a pastor came, guest pastor. And then he now said, so you people are cooking God's soup in devil's pots. I said, God.
That's poetic.
That's how my career ended right there. Because like the imagery he gave where he said, you're cooking God's soup in devil's pots. How do you bounce back from that? What is the answer to that? What's the history with that one? So at that point, I said, see, it's not going to work out. It is my career. But he said, why? The reason why I've been giving that context is that I feel like some of the criticisms you've faced, even with the music, is people, you know, maybe older folks saying this is a little too modernized. Like, you know, even with the song No Turning Back, they're saying, look, this was what it was in this century. Why are you now doing the modern version? How have you navigated those sort of critiques?
You know, to touch me, to be very honest, because I feel like you're more easily moved by what people say when you do not have a personal conviction about what you're doing.
Yeah.
When you are really convicted and you are certain about what you're doing, then you're like, one, those who get it will get it. Or even if you don't get it now, you're going to come around. Because you're not going to argue with the fruits. Mm-hmm. You get. So that's true. But also, something I learned from a pastor, Chintoki Shaku, who spoke at a retreat that, I hosted for creatives last year. I had about 140 creatives gather for a 3-day retreat. And I learned that when people just don't understand what you're doing because it's different and it's especially within a context of faith, sometimes it's not about arguing or fighting. Sometimes just extend grace. I mean, they're speaking from their point of view and their level of understanding and the side of God that they've experienced, you know, because at the end of the day, by the end of time, even with all that you would ever learn about God, you're still peeping through a little hole. You know, it's Paul that said it. It's still a little glance that you have. You know, we're all going to get to heaven and then you realize that it wasn't even up to the tip of the iceberg of this being that we knew. So when all those criticisms were happening, I was just like, okay. So a part of me was like, it's fine. You don't understand it. It's all right. Another part of me was like, it's all right. You follow for promo.
All publicity, that publicity.
It's good publicity, you know, yes.
Because you're discussing the work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which means that this is actually a piece of art that
has moved you,
that is worthy of discourse. You know, that's critical acclaim. Yeah,
you follow for promo.
Yeah.
And actually, it's interesting that you talked about doing a retreat, right? Because for years you organized free concerts at school. Can you talk about that long journey where nobody was looking at you, nobody cared about you, you just kept showing up each and every time? Talk about that journey.
Well, it started in 2017. So, I mean, something I said was my professional musical journey started in 2010. I started writing earlier and performing earlier, but those were amateur years. Then my uni years, yeah. I organized 2 concerts when I was in uni. So I was doing stuff. But I was done with uni. I served my country so I can rise to the highest. Let's just put that out there, you know. I served full year. And I did not serve remotely. Yeah. You know, I actually did serve.
Yeah.
Then right after that, I got signed to a deal. You know, it was rare at the time. I was a Christian artist and someone who was willing to invest in my career. Now, this was 2010 and I was in music actively, released records, follow, movie song, little drops. 2017, I came into a more streamlined purpose. You know, I feel like God specialized me. Like, yeah, you're doing all of this, but this is what I really have you do. You know, and then the first thing I built, that was the time that my mind kind of shifted from solo to like a movement. Mm. So I started thinking beyond myself. So I started thinking for, you know, Christian creatives or kingdom creatives whose expression don't fall into the traditional, don't fall into the expected praise, worship, alujo, and all of that. You know, guys who do rap, contortion, spoken word, afro, you know, just alternative expressions, you know. So I started thinking more about the community and I started to build without knowing I was building.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because now builders, now they follow talks. we follow. We just know they call our own startup. Right. So the first expression was Light Out, yeah, which is what you asked, yeah, about. And it was just a nudge, a strong nudge to go to my alma mater, King's College, and organize a concert for the students. And at the time, I was dead broke. Like, I don't say that figuratively. Like, in actual facts, right? And it cost about 60,000 naira to put that concert together. So I just called a senior Egbon who I knew did sound, a DJ. I'm like, I want to do a concert in KC for the boys. Give me sound. He says, okay. He just rent it. I just bring 60 grand. I didn't have the 60 grand. So I had four friends. We were five. We used to pray together. The four friends were in my place. And I told them, well, I'm doing this thing. I didn't even say anything. So one of them was like, this thing Gaze Baba is doing is evangelistic. Let's sow into it. So they each dropped 5K.
Wow.
So it's 5K, 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 5K. It made 20K. That very same evening, immediately they left. They transferred five, it wasn't even cash. They transferred 5K into my account. Then I had 20K. I'm saying that to let you know, when I said I was dead broke, I was like, actually dead broke. But I started planning this. So I sent that 20K to the guy and said, that's deposit. So when did the concert, next week, I had an invitation to Green Springs. I spoke there. I mentioned, oh, we're in KC last week. We did a concert. Right after that speech, the principal is like, the concert you did, come and do it here. By 2 months after that, I was in Green Springs. The next month, I was in QC. Following day, we're in Federal Science and Technical College. So we just ended up going from high school to high school. So I was busy. I was just not busy in church.
Yeah.
So I was busy with a group of young guys. You are seeing this one person is on dreads. The one person has maybe a stud. But they're all on fire for God. And then we're going to the people who we can tell, this music has an impact with these young folk. So the old folk may not understand it. They might think you guys are just faffing around. But we're literally seeing right before our faces the impact that the music has. These are young girls and guys who are seeing these guys, maybe they are seeing like seven guys, maybe two girls, on stage, rapping, dancing, jumping. Two guys are carrying the guitar. One is carrying the bass. One is on the drums. And all these guys are looking cool. And they are singing Christian songs. So for the young folk in school, it was like, Christian and cool. I can't love God and be cool. So we saw that. So imagine we had done that 2017, 2018, 2019. Then we started the festival, Aramanda Festival, which was now big and all of that. But we had done this year on year on year. High schools, unis, just all over the place. So by 2025, when the big break then happens, then you have some people talk. I'm like, you don't get it. Because I can bet that in the last 5 years, you've not stepped into a high school.
Yeah.
Mm. In the last 10 years, you've not stepped into a group of 10 to 15 year olds. So you can't even outreach to them. We can. And this is what is doing it.
You know, the thing is, going back to what Chika was even talking about, there are always seasons like where nobody is seeing what's going on, or let's say the spotlight is not on that, right? And for our viewers and for people who are in that phase, right, what advice would you have for a person who's in the season when the spotlight is not on them, but they're building, they're grinding, they're showing up even when nobody is clapping for them? What advice, and even for you looking back at it now, what did it prepare you to be ready for? I think in one of our last episodes, I think it was with Vusi, I was saying that one of the things I'd realized about Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights wasn't to go and like faff around, clearly, but it's to prepare yourself for when that spotlight eventually hits you. Are you prepared for the moment? So what advice would you have for somebody going through that phase?
I'll say you make the most of it. I say you make the most of it, because once the spotlight comes, it's go time. And there's little learning on the job you can do.
Yeah.
There's actually little learning on the job you can do. So when the spotlight comes, it's spotlighting everything.
Mm.
It's going to spotlight everything. What you should have dropped, did you drop it or not? What you should have learned and picked, did you learn it or not? Did you pick it or not? All of that. You get... So it's like that period is when you're growing roots. So it's all invisible. It's not seen, but it's going down. You know, it's foundations. I'm sure people have heard it, but I can tell you from my life, I can even be quite practical on a creative sense, right? When you perform before teenagers, you know if you're killing it or not.
The feedback is instant.
The feedback is instant. It's like as they hot, you will know. Right? So you learn stagecraft. Yeah. So you learn engaging an audience. I didn't even know I was learning those. Mm. You know, we're just doing what we were sent. Right? That's one. On the other hand, I was learning organization. I was actually putting shows together. Because these are shows. Some we had lights, put the sound together, do a little bit of awareness, let the students know we're coming. Right? You learn people skills. You learn engaging people that have nothing to lose. There's no reputation, they are protected. They are within themselves. So if you can engage them, let them know we're coming. You're learning all these soft skills, right? That's what people call it in tech.
Yes, soft skills.
You're learning all these soft skills. Yeah. When no turning back blew up what? In May. Right, it was May 16th. I mean, the song blew before the song was released.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it blew up on TikTok, blew up on IG, blew up on Facebook. Yeah. Like, just...
So it wasn't out there yet.
Yeah.
It wasn't out. People were putting pressure on us to release it because they couldn't wait to hear it. Yeah. I've never seen it before. Crazy. Me, myself, I've never seen it before. So I can't take glory. Lawrence can't. Both of us have said it. I don't understand this thing. It's just the song blew before the song was out.
But how did they even get out in the first place?
Snippets. You get like snippets of
that you guys were sharing on
the
socials.
If song is coming out, you put something out now.
Small taste. Seasoning.
We're releasing song going another. And it was like, okay, we're releasing song. But from the first snippet, like, wait a minute. Something is up. Then we now put out the second one. The first one was I can never turn back. No, that's first snippet.
Where did you put it? I want to know specifically.
TikTok.
So it was your account.
It was my account. Okay. No. Yeah. So the first thing we put out. So this was how this was.
The, yeah, I want to
this
know
was
the
rollout.
Yeah.
So in, on our side, it's called rollout. So this was rollout. The first thing we posted was a picture of myself and Lawrence Oyo on stage, standing like this, back to back, and looking at camera. And the caption was, get ready for this, or something like that. Now, what that picture did, because myself and Lawrence Oyo are kind of like in, we're not in spaces that you are, the Christian body is expecting us to do something together. So I mean like Afro gospel and those that conservatives will yap and say, I'm not serious, I'm not spiritual. He's like in the really spiritual.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it in quotes because what many people view and use to measure spirituality is actually false yardsticks.
Yeah.
Right. But like that whole conservative, you know, it's that's how he's seen. So it's like the height of seriousness and the height of
unseriousness.
I don't want to talk like that, but
yes, you get the point.
So just seeing that picture was like, so I remember people saying, is it a song? Because I host a podcast session, Black Flame. So like, okay, did you host him on your podcast? Is he a song? Like, wait, but if it's a song, how does this thing sound? So there was all that curiosity that was building, but it was building within our circles. My circle, his circle, the Christian space. Then we released the
snippet.
The first snippet. So they hear Lawrence go, I can never turn back. No. So it's clear it's a song. It's clear it's a remake of the original No Turning Back that I put out last year. But it was fresh. It was hearing Lawrence Oyo on vibe. So it was very like, you know. So by the time we put out the second one, which was the part where he was... was chanting. So so people are like, wait, you did chant rap, you did so all of that, and like it was gone. So people were like, 16th is far, Friday is far, people are counting on our behalf. I have to be, there's, you know, put it out earlier, I have to be saying, no, there's distro company involved. There's this. You can't just move this. Blah, blah, blah. But all that was also me engaging. You keep the engagement line open, keep conversation lines going. Then Friday came. In 2 days, there was 1 million views on YouTube.
Etcha, remember that time I walked into a bank? I'm not going to give the name. And I asked them for $1,000. And they told me, no, they cannot withdraw any dollar from me. And I was so upset. And I just remember asking everybody, how can I solve this issue? And I'm so happy that I finally have V-Band to finally solve this issue for me.
You know, the thing is, you should be able to have access to your money anywhere in the world when you get paid, right? So I'm grateful we have VBAN as a sponsor for the Afropolitan podcast. With VBAN, you're able to get paid in foreign currencies, whether it's pounds, USD, euros, and you can actually spend it in local currency as well. Now, you're also able to get a virtual card, which you can use to spend in and pay for services across the world, right? So I'm grateful to have VBAN as a sponsor.
You can download it on the Apple or Google Play Store. And remember, when you sign up, you use Afropolitan so they know you came from this podcast.
You know, it's funny because I discovered this song on TikTok too and on Instagram. I remember the first time I heard it, I'm like, wait. So initially, you don't know if it's a gospel song. All you hear is No Turning Back. But then you're like, wait, and you don't say the Jesus part. You're like, wait, it's the same song. And I remember I hunted for that song. I was like, on YouTube.
And where is it? Kept replaying it again.
I know that I've got at least 10,000 streams. I know, me personally.
You bring personally. It to the band. Oh, yeah, listen. I was like, what's going on?
I know, personally, I've contributed to that.
Just chasing me everywhere streams. With this song.
Because I felt like it's such a great answer to almost everything. Like, it's like, whether it was the meme part or anything, but so many times as people, we don't know how to say no to a lot of things. So it's like, listen, I've just decided to follow Jesus.
I'm not talking about it. It's already too late.
And you know what's funny? You can use that thing to answer almost any question. If it's billing on your WhatsApp, it's too late. If it's something you don't want to respond to, it's already too late.
I've already come too far, man.
No, but I wanted to ask, even the decision for the music video, right? Because I think it's, that's another thing that I felt like was so genius, because I think it helped convey the resonance of the music. What was the, who made the decision around the music treatment, the music video treatment, shooting it with the kids? It was so, it's so visceral, right? So what was that thought process going into that?
Well, I don't want you to decide anything. Like, that's what I'm saying. The song, everything that had to do with this song was so random yet not random. It was, there were things that that things you can't take credit for.
Yeah.
So it wasn't strategy. It wasn't like we put strategy together. Okay, so we're going to put this here. We're going to, all of that. It was, I was in Ibadan for a film project. We used the opportunity to record
the video.
It was a Sunday morning. Pastor Lawrence, it's actually Pastor Lawrence Oyo. So he pastors a church. The church is called Davidic Generation Church. I went for the service. Attended the service. At the end of the service, he announces, the congregation had been told a day before that we're going to record a song after service tomorrow. So you need to understand something about that church. Their church is an army. They are used to it because he makes music and he records with his congregation. So that's where Favor was recorded. That's where Juggler has now been recorded. That's where Joy on My Account, his songs, all his videos are with his congregation. So initially the plan was for him to come to Lagos. We'll get a studio. We'll get different people to just come around. The difference is you get different people to come around. They're different people. This one, they are not different people. Mm. There are many people in one unit.
Yeah.
So it's like an army of voices singing as one.
Yeah, one band, one sound. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. You know, and it wasn't it's going to be better if we do it like that. No, it was, we've been struggling to find a time that will work for you to come to Lagos. But I'm coming to Ibadan. This should be, is that okay? Maybe we should just do church. I'll say, okay, let me come, we'll do church. So it was right after service. And then it was when we arrived, Ibadan, that afternoon, Saturday into evening. And we're thinking, maybe we should find like a color theme for them to wear. We're like, no, it'll be too late. You can't be telling people tonight. He's like, no, there's WhatsApp. We'll just send it. Don't worry. They will know. It's okay. So
like
it's
WhatsApp
that
channel.
Night. Yeah. So it's that night information was passed that, you guys just come like white tops, blue jeans. And check the video again. Like the memo went round and they came in white tops and blue jeans.
So just hold up. Because you know the thing about why I was so looking forward to this episode is so many times a lot of us who are not necessarily in the industry don't understand how things just move in such regimented ways where you're like, bro, to organize this thing in the secular world, your feet give kidney. So you're telling me a WhatsApp channel, blast goes out. All the people we saw dancing in that video just show up.
They are members of the church.
And how many people? How many members?
Those guys can't be less than 1,000.
And then they weren't coached. Like, nobody was like saying, you need to dance
like
this.
Put your head
like
this. Go like this.
This is just...
Like I said, they are not new to it because they are used to it with their pastor.
Yeah.
Favor, Joy on My Account. There are different records that have been made and was recorded live and the video was captured as well and then put out. So I remember before we started shooting, I'm trying to tell them, so when we start, the day... In fact, Pastor Lawrence wasn't there at the time, was resting after service. They were telling me like, bruh, we got you. Don't worry. We used to this. You know, when we have shows, especially like in Lagos, maybe Akot, especially like comedy shows or maybe big shows, they'll actually be announcing to people that they shouldn't record with their phones because you're gonna put this out. Don't record your phones. Don't put it out. I wanted to make that announcement. They're like, sir, you don't know, so. Like, nobody brought out. They are disciplined. Like, they understand. I feel like if we can get young Christians to apply our cerebral power and excellence, will be unstoppable in the world. Because it's easiest to get us disciplined, learn integrity, punctuality, the things that you're struggling to get other people to do. Like, nobody brought a phone out. Check it. They were all zoned in to the project, to the work. They're so, like, I'm trying to find another word for discipline.
It was focused.
Yeah, like, and you don't have to wind them. I had to heal them, like, man, you guys are a vibe. That energy you saw
in the video.
Exactly like that. It was an amazing experience. No, it wasn't one take.
Okay.
It was maybe like, it was like three. So check this out. It was like 3.5 takes. You see, that final take was where the I will never turn back. It was in the final take. And as Lawrence was already tired because he had just arrived from abroad the day before. He just got his verse that morning. The morning before we recorded, that was when he got his verse. That's, we burn the world. We'll spend the billions. Yes. He got that verse that morning. She was tired. She was like, I was like, let's just do one more. I said, let's just do one more. So that immediately the record started playing. The instrumentation started playing. Then he whispers to me, he's like, I just got a new sound. And that was the, I will never turn back. You know, so yeah, it was.
Wait, but how did the collaboration happen in the first place? Like, how did you, especially because both of you are so unlikely. Yeah.
I like that word. Unlikely. I was also surprised. So, in fact, I met the person. So when I met Lawrence Oyo, the day we met, he said to me, I like that your song. Now, I assumed he was referring to Elijah Level because I had seen him use Elijah Level on his reels on IG. So I was like, oh, Elijah Level. He's like, no, the latest one, No Turning Back. I was like, for real? You like No Turning Back? Because No Turning Back is Amapiano. We made it on Amapiano. You know? So I was shocked. Like, man of God. You like No Turning Back? He's like, yeah, he loves it. I heard it. A friend played it for him in a car in London. Now, I met that friend when I went to London for the No Turning Back tour in London in September. The person in whose car he heard it, I met him. And just to put this out there, he wanted to do he had an event in Lagos for his mother's birthday, and wanted me to perform the song. So he asked me what our rates are. Like, Gaze, we're about to have you perform. Like, what are your rates? I was like, don't worry, we'll come. He's like, hey, I know, but still, you know, like, what are, so that means we have rates. Let's not get, let's just put our day. Right. So I said, no, I will be there. Till the day we did it, I finished performing, I was leaving. He's asking me, I should just send me a message, let him know. I was like, don't worry. Because in my head, I'm like, you played a part
in this happening.
In this happening. This is the least I can
do.
I can do. So I did that, you know, all of that. Which make I hold myself.
God go pay him back.
You know, God go pay him and all of that. But it's like, I feel like you shouldn't, there are certain favors people shouldn't ask for if you don't have the grounds to ask for it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was how Lawrence Oil heard it. He heard the song in this person's car in London. The person was playing it over and over again. So he was saying the song is short. The song is short. It's so good, but it's short. And then he feels like singing on it. So he recorded on his phone. He recorded himself vibing on his phone. So the day we met, months after, I was in Ibadan for another... Okay, this one, I went on a speaking engagement. So when we met, he now played it. You know, he said to me, let's do something with the song. I was like, you're serious? He's like, yeah. I said, do you want to sing on No Turning Back? He said, yeah, let's do something. I'm like, well, okay. All right. So when he sent me what he did.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. This is dope. It's so different.
Yeah.
So he had that whole... he didn't have the verse, but he had that ad lib that it's already too late. I already have sense now. That kind of thing. So that's how it came about. So it was even the thought of making this remix of the original didn't come from me.
Wow.
So usually, you know, in certain industries, it's not collaborative. People compete. Somebody can even hear that verse. I mean, just delete Amjari. What is he trying to do? But like, it seems like in the industry, I'm not saying that it happens like this all the time. What was the sort of like upbringing you have had that set you up to be much more collaborative? But two, when you then heard, because you've already released the song, it's already a hit. But now you're now coming to add extra jar on top.
There's heat and there's heat.
There's heat and there's heat. But when you heard the second finished mastered version, and I asked all the artists that we have here, like when you know you now have hits, did you feel like you had a like something that was going to go?
So you, I feel like there are certain levels of traction, virality, heat, monster heat. You never know. You can't predict a No Turning Back too. Mm-hmm. When we finished recording that day, my entertainment lawyer, Tope Salami, was in Ibadan, was in the room. I walked towards the instrumentalist musician side. So he came towards where I was. And he whispered in a way that I could hear what he was saying. So he just came close to me and was like, that's why it's so like, it's like this, it's gone. Now, when you hear that, you know, we've made a dope record. You know, you've made a dope record, but you still cannot fathom the stratosphere to which it can get to. Because you've made dope records that ended up all right. Jigget. People ask me, what did you do
differently?
What was the routine of prayer that you did?
What was your fasting
routine?
What was your fasting routine?
I said, Papa, if I tell you the songs that I actually had routines for, Little Drops in 2013, you know, what, a decade after the album, surely Elijah Level, of course, Elijah Level really popped and did well. But nothing has been on this level. And for this one, I didn't have no routine. So if you want to say specific directed spiritual capital that is directed at it, financial capital that is directed at it, marketing capital that is directed at it from beginning, possibly the least.
Are you serious?
Possibly the least. Because it's a remix. We are working on an album. We Outside, that we released after the Turning Back, that is Rising, had been recorded mixed, mastered, ready. Other songs are being worked on. So I almost missed this. Mm-hmm. I almost missed it. I shared it. Myself and Lawrence did a podcast session on Black Flame where we went in detail. I shared stories of how the idea came. And then I was like, the way I said it, the Holy Spirit woke me up one morning. It's like, are you all right? I brought the low hanging fruit to you. This is a dynamite. You're slacking. Are you sure? We're okay. Then I had that sense of urgency. Mm. I just like, I have to like pay huge attention to this. Very same morning, I called Lawrence. I'm like, that our record, let's make it. I don't even care whether you can come to Lagos or not. I will come. I don't care if you can do it live. Anyhow, let's just make it. That's when we now started like working on it. And within 3 weeks, we then recorded it and put it out.
Wow. And I want you to even break down and demystify, because a lot of people who watch our podcast are always looking at frameworks for businesses. I want to understand the gospel industry in Nigeria. Is making money? I've seen people flying in from different parts of the world. It's one of those industries I'm like, this is so interesting. It's what actually for me, right? What's interesting is that it's very international. It's one of those industries that I feel like in Nigeria specifically, you guys attract a lot of international attention. And even one of our past guests, Vusi, right? He was here because, yes, he was here for two churches that paid him to speak. So I want to understand, what is this industry?
Hey, I can't speak for
No, you can't speak to him. Yeah. Yes.
That's a completely different platoon, if I can call it that. The gospel music space. This is where I put it. If you look at, we say like Afrobeats, we say top four. You say we have the top four.
Yeah.
The top four are making crazy money. Like stupendous money. If you skip past maybe the top 10 to 15, you hardly have people making money.
Yeah.
And this is specifically for the Afrobeats.
Afrobeats. Yeah. Secular space. If you come to the gospel side and you look at, let's say, maybe the top three, they're making decent money directly from the art, right? Now, if you look at the whole scope, that's seeds, support, you've blessed us, so take this. If you look at that whole scope, the blessing is more. Yeah? But this is where I'm going. If you go past top 20, go past top 30, that person that you don't even know at all, he'll be getting by. So you are better off a struggling gospel artist.
Interesting.
Danny is struggling.
But break it down. Where is the money coming from? And the reason why this is very fascinating for me is because sometimes I'll hear a song. Like, what song was it? Was this song by Mercy?
Mercy Chima.
Yeah, but I feel like it was her song originally.
Mercy's top.
Yeah, she's top. But I don't know why the song. It's a song we were playing the other day. It was a song that I remember. I felt like the first time I heard it was actually an American gospel artist. Yeah. And I remember I followed it. I was like, oh, I love this song.
Mercy Chinwo has maybe two songs, I mm-hmm. don't know, that have been covered by international
artists. Exactly. So that's artists. The interesting part to
Jesus,
me.
Jesus, you love me.
Yes, that song. Too much. I heard that's it was from an American gospel artist.
That's one of the biggest gospel records of the last decade.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I think for me, that's what's very interesting. It's almost like the American gospel artists are like, what are they doing in Nigeria? Let's enter this thing.
Nigeria is the next frontier for gospel.
Mm.
Nigeria is the next. I was in Rwanda last week. Had No Turning Back tour in Kigali. And there's an artist there, Olivier Kavuti, who we did a song together in 2022, fortunately, he's shooting a video now, which pays more. Right. And he was talking about how even for worship, Nigeria is the next frontier. This is not like even like the next sound, the now sound for worship on the earth is coming from Nigeria. And the world knows it. But America is not talking about it enough.
Yeah.
Mm. So let's break this open because everyone's going to see this one. Because I just feel like it feels almost like, and this might be even controversial, God forgive me, but I just feel like...
asking for forgiveness, I hate.
But it's like, I just feel like a lot, like, I don't know what's going on with American gospel sound, like, to be quite frank. I think there was an era, right? The Kirk Franklin and then obviously there was Yolanda Adams and, you know, there was that era. But I feel like...
You're really an OG.
Yeah, I am. So, but for me, it's like, I feel like there's a bit of... There's some controversy, there's some drama, you know, with Maverick City, you know, they had recent drama. So I feel like they're almost like, okay, let's look at what's going on with Nigeria, right? And it's almost like they're trying to extract sound. That's what it feels
it's,
like.
It's not that stuff is going on in Yankee and they're saying, oh, let's look at what's going on in Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's Nigerian sound, even for worship, has been for the last few years. The president of Integrity Music doesn't miss experience. They know. Right? We've churned out leading songs even in worship over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Now, if I want to explain this,
please.
I'm going to have to explain it from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
Because the glory shifts, right? Hillsong was from Australia.
Yep.
Started with Darlene Check. Before then, it was Integrity. Don Mwen, Ron Kennelly. Then there was an urban sound that rose with Kirk. Then you had Hillsong from Australia just took over the world. Right? That kind of dovetailed a bit into like Bethel and all that. Now, yeah, we've had Maverick. And the genius of Maverick was the mix of the black and white sound. Right, in worship. You know, powerful things happen when we unite. So what nobody had been able to do over decades, Maverick City did it. Mix the black gospel and white Christian sound. Mix it together. That's what we've had there. Now, the sound that is rising from Nigeria is not just music. Even sermons, even voice, it's like voices are rising out of Africa. It's time for Africa. Spiritually, technologically, financially, sportically. Even though I feel like, you see, Africa is, even in sport, Africa has risen. It's just because of the lack of infrastructure.
Yeah.
You realize that Africa is rising in a way that is paying the West. It's African athletes that are representing the West.
Yeah, true.
So you check the English national team, you check the German national team,
French,
you check
especially.
French, and Spanish,
those ones from time immemorial. you look at this thing with sound, it's happened with Afrobeats.
Yeah.
It's Afro gospel rising. It's becoming major this year. If you look at the top sounds, the top songs out of Nigeria this year, you're going to count 3 to 4 Afro gospel records on top. You're going to count Favor. You're going to count We Will Be Many. You're going to count No Turning Back. You're going to count Jogla Jogla. Oluwa Tosin. The Jesus that I deserve is enough for me. This didn't happen last year. It hasn't happened before. We had outliers maybe once in 5 years. So you have Mulai Jesugan. You had Olorioko, that period, right? But there is something happening and the physical is following the spiritual. I repeat myself. The physical is following the spiritual, right? So even with worship, the next frontier for worship is here. See Hallelujah Challenge. 1 million people are joining daily. That's not normal. Dunsin is going to organize outpouring all over the world. The places will be packed. That's not random. Africa is...
You know, it's funny because even with our mission with Afropolitan, I remember this year I came into it. I think the first sermon I heard this year was, "What shall it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?"
I didn't hear that. The funny
was sermon. The first sermon I heard this year,
right,
was, "What shall it profit a man to gain the world but and lose his soul?" His soul? And I remember just thinking about, you know how we talk about, you know, yes, we're technology guys. We talk about startups, talk about builders, but the biggest and the best startup has always been religion. Like, if you look at Christianity, that is a startup that started from literally one person, two people, 12 people, to billions. It's really one of the most successful startups of all time. Same thing with, if you look at it that way, it's literally a startup. But that the difference is, instead of customers or users, which is what technologists will say, they have believers.
Followers.
Believers. And I think for me, it really reflected to me, like, the sort of mission you're on, and we're on, requires believers, requires like followers, not just customers or people you're looking to like attract, which is why I think for us, even when launching the podcast, one of the biggest things we had to tap into was, does it resonate, right? And if it's resonating, it doesn't fly under KPI, metrics, numbers. You can't even be judged by any of that. And I feel like sometimes when I look into the gospel space, like when you said, I can only explain this thing spiritually, right? If a person doesn't have that third eye, or that spiritual eye open, they might not even be able to understand what you're talking about. But how do you, and bring this back to a question, is how do you navigate in spaces when your spiritual has said go, but nothing in the physical is logical or moving from a logical perspective, while everybody is saying, but this doesn't make sense on paper, but the spiritual has said go, or God has told you to go. How do you navigate that tension, even with your business and with people around you?
We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not just words on paper or words in scripture. It's how we live. So if I have faith, I'm going to move mountains. Literally. You know, and I've seen it over and over and over again. Before this musical break, we've organized 6 editions of the Aramanda Festival. 3 of them at Landmark Center in Lagos. That's the same place every corporate would use, right? 1 in Abuja. We're planning for 3 cities. The first one at Landmark, I had less than 100,000 when we started. By the end of it, spent maybe about 13, 14 million. The next one was about 26 million. Had less than 1 million when we started. So I didn't move by sight. I'm making it practical.
Yeah,
I moved by faith. We're going to do this. And it's the same way Jesus said, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. There are 15,000 people to feed. Calculate it, 5,000 men, aside women and children. For each man, there will be at least 1 woman and at least 1 child. So that's minimum 15,000. I have 15,000 people to feed. I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what does it do? It lifts it up to heaven. It gives thanks, gratitude. That's gratitude. That's not despising what's in your hand. That's don't despise little beginnings. Scriptures say, to he who has, more shall be given. To he who does not have, even that which he has will be taken from him. Now read that again. He who has, more shall be given. He who does not have that which he has shall be taken. In other words, he who does not have actually has, but has a mindset of not having. And so because you are despising that little that you have, even that little will be taken from you. Mm-hmm. So when you have the mindset of not having, it will depreciate. When you have the mindset of gratitude for the little that you have, it will appreciate. That's the first principle in that miracle that Jesus did. If you look through scripture, you'll find the principles for miracles to happen. So that's first, gratitude, not looking down on what he has. Second, organization. It tells the disciples, tell the people to sit in groups of 50s. So even though there are 15,000, that looks a lot. Break it down to smaller bits. Tell them to sit in groups of 50s. So if we can hit this first 50, bam, we move to the next. Bam, we move to the next. So they start to share. And it starts multiplying. That's the same principle. I have 100,000. I want to organize an event that is going to cost me 12 million. I'm going to start. I'm going to go to the venue. I'm going to book it. The first thing you do is book. You don't pay. You book. After you book, you start moving. Okay, let's make a design. Break it down into bits. But the first thing is you have gotten the instruction to do it, sha. You're not just moving on vibes and inshallah. Do you get what I mean? So in terms of how do you move, even when what you're seeing doesn't look like it, that's the foundation of being a Christian. That's what it means to be a person of faith. That's what you are as a Christian. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the mere basics of being a Christian is faith. But unfortunately, most Christians have not been taught to live like that. So we live like mere men. You say, ye are gods, but you shall die like mere men. That's how most Christians live their lives. They don't actually live.
You know, you also attended Berklee School of Music, right? Could you explain to our audience what that education also did for you? And what did it teach you in terms of how you even navigate your career, whether it's from a business lens, from even just in your artistry as well? What was that experience like for you?
It taught me music business. It was basically music business. So I learned about, you know, publishing, having the X Factor as an artist, you know, because that's something else that I feel like as Christians we can do better at, understanding. I mean, we interpolate without clearing masters.
Really?
Yeah, there are some that are free use. There are some songs that fall into free use, but I don't think there's any space that is as legally unguarded
as gospel. But it's spiritually guarded, though.
Sometimes what we consider as spiritual guardedness is not. And that's why we end up being legally unguarded. Mm. If you are spiritually guarded, you will be legally guarded. Spirituality doesn't make you dance, doesn't make you dance, doesn't make you naive. Spirituality should increase your awareness on the earth. Spirituality isn't random, balderdash, gibberish, and all of that. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his words. Listen to his mind. If you're a follower of Jesus, actually, you have the mind of Christ. You should be operating on a higher level of intellectual capacity. Right? But we've been taught a gospel that actually disempowers us. That's why Africa is where Africa is. And we're going to flip that.
But we don't tend to hear, you know how in Afrobeat space or even in circular music space, there's always artist signs to label. After a couple of years or a couple of albums, okay, label was screwing me over, blah, 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 blah. We don't tend to hear a lot of those stories coming out from the gospel music industry. So what would you say is the difference?
There are not enough labels. If there are more labels, there will be more issues.
So is everyone signed to like the same person?
Or independent?
Most are independent. Some no, if you are on the ground, you'll have heard things last year or 2 years ago. There are things that came up, you know, In Yoruba, it is said, that's how it is said in Yoruba. No need to translate that. Those that get it. But there have been issues, you know. And when you have humans, there's the possibility of there being issues, right? Especially when there are not enough guardrails. That's one. Also, if the people involved are not sincere and not, you know, you don't sign contracts well, you don't you don't protect yourself even when you're powerless. You should protect yourself even when you're powerless, unless you don't believe that you're going to become powerful. You know, so you're a talent. You have the money. You want to invest the money and bring in the talent. You're bringing the money. By musical law, you are going to own the masters. Most times, the talent is not away. The talent doesn't have the knowledge. Right? So most issues that happen, even in secular, one, it's greed and shadiness on the part of the execs, naivety and ignorance on the part of the talent, or desperation on the part of the talent. I've been on a label. In fact, I've been on two labels.
What happened? I wanted to know about that.
My first label, I completed my contract, 5 years.
Wow.
I completed my 5-year contract. So I have the grounds to talk. How did the label operate? I signed for everything that was spent. I signed for everything that was earned. There was a ledger. So I agreed on everything that was spent on my career. There was no, oh, that thing that we did that time was 15 million. Ah, is it 15 million? No, we had a conversation before it was spent. That's someone that is sincere. That isn't trying to game you. It's transparent. Thank you. That's the word. It's transparent. Giz, we're going to do this photo shoot. The person is charging this. We think we should do this. Ba-da-da-da-da. All right, let's do it. Bam. Ledger. Assign for it. Oh, we're going to perform in this place. This is what we're paid. I see it. Assign for it. So at every point in time on the contract, I knew what had been spent on my career. I knew what my music had earned. I knew when my music had not earned up to what had been spent. I knew when I'm like, we need to double up on this so we can quickly start sharing. I understood my contract. Most artists don't even understand their contracts. So that's a problem.
Why don't more labels move like that? Because it seems like it would. I know, obviously, they probably, you know, corruption hides in the gray areas, but it would seem like for a long term compounding and being able to, because it doesn't make sense to start with a person when, you know, they don't have much, and then when they now finally have much, they now feel bad towards the relationship they had with you. So why don't more labels just approach this from a transparent level?
You know, when we were speaking earlier, I said, if Christians can be taught to operate on a high level of cerebral, you know, operation or whatever the English, and apply excellence, will be unstoppable. Because of the moral code that ideally we should operate by, because of the work the Holy Spirit has done on everyone's heart, we are not trying to game each other. What you are talking about is dog eat dog.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to game the next person.
Zero sum.
Zero sum. So the label is trying to game the talent. The talent is trying to game the label. So now game pass. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But then you come on this side where we should have the advantage because of expected uprightness. But then most people are operating at an abysmal level of excellence. And so the Holy Spirit does not even get a chance to show his power because you are so, there's nothing to multiply.
Yeah. You're so bereft.
You're so, no knowledge, no capacity, you know. Once we raise that, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Christ is real. Christianity is real. You know, Christ is the wisdom in the Godhead. If you yield to that logos, that body of knowledge, it will amaze you the things that we can that we can do on the earth. I'm a firm believer in it.
You know, what I'm actually curious about is, because you've touched on it this a bit, is where do you want to see the gospel industry evolve in Nigeria? Because you're saying we are the sound, we're it now. I can tell you that. Even in America, I can tell you that, right? But what is it that the business needs to do to evolve, to actually capture it? Because there's one thing to have the value, but some people don't capture the value.
Very good. Very, very good. Light must be able to operate in darkness, and darkness not comprehend it. It's scripture, but we have not operated it. What we have been taught is light should run away from darkness. Most Christians will, if you see things on the internet, on the online, most Christians will comment, what fellowship does light have with darkness? They don't remember the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. How does he want to shine in darkness if he doesn't get in the darkness? No Turning Back has consideration for Grammy nomination. We posted it. Just one post. Fire everywhere. What are you doing on the demonic platform? What are you... I promise you, I know it's like the back of my head or the back of my hand. That's what it said. Heaven is shaking his head at those comments. My people perish
for lack of knowledge.
And there are times when you think you are doing something for God and you're actually kicking against the goads. He wakes Peter up, say, eat. You're struggling. Bam, eat. You're struggling. No, I can't touch anything impure. Third time, eat. I can't touch anything impure. By the time the third time had happened, he had to wake up because the person that he was, that the Holy Spirit was preparing him for, was already downstairs. Mm. He goes to meet the person. They are explaining that, oh, God told them to come here. He says, oh, okay, I share the gospel with you. He shares the gospel. While he's sharing the gospel, the Holy Spirit bypasses him to come on the people. In other words, I will not let you stop what I want to do. Flip that. What does Paul do? Paul goes into new cities. He goes to the power blocks. We suppose they... God almighty. He goes to the power blocks. When he goes to a city that is driven by intellect, he'll go to where the philosophers are. Those driven by power, he's gunning for the power block, because you get the power block, you get the people.
Yeah. It's distribution.
What do Christians of this generation say? Avoid there. Don't go there. What does Kinika have? What does Kinika? No, just stay within these church walls and let's keep singing Kumbaya. Yeah. like I say, we know they think. It baffles me. Because what we should be is light that is so potent, that has been so discipled, that has been so cooked. That even though you are in Babylon, you can still pray every day without shaking because you're Daniel. Even though you are in Babylon, you can refuse to bow like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you are not falling to the ways of Babylon. But you are in Babylon without losing your Jewishness. You can be Joseph in Egypt and not lose your
calling,
your core. You know, there were several Jew boys that were caught by Nebuchadnezzar, that's Babylon. Only four stood that we have record of. Daniel and his three guys, they had company. But they were, there wasn't just four that were caught. All the others bowed. Do you get what I mean? So what do I want to see is us rising to that. It's like, how do you take an industry without interacting with the industry? How do you take a space without getting involved in the space? How can you disciple children if you only get 2% of their airtime? You have to get into what they listen to. You have to get into what they watch. You have to get into games. You have to get into cartoons. You have to get into all these spaces. That's what I want to see. How do we capture value? We start owning companies. We start getting on the table. You're not at the table. How do you want to participate in culture? How do you want to influence culture? How do you want to capture it? How do you want to own it? How do you want to own the narrative? How do you want to... We're too protective, defensive, negative. That's why we are reactive. This is happening. No, that's not how you should... But you're not at the forefront of it. We need to be that. And that's what I'm hoping Afro Gospel does.
You know, it's so interesting. As you were saying this, I was just reflecting, like, why is it that the mindset that comes with that is, because you just said light should be able to step into darkness's territory and be like, I'm light, so I don't fear anything that's happening here. But it feels like there's the fear that if light interacts with darkness, that darkness will consume light, because that's really the underlying theme. It's really one of fear, like, okay, do not be unequally
yoked
or something.
We've not been taught right. Mm. We've not been discipled right. You know, largely. So we are, the mindset is more avoidance. You know, you have to be in the world, but not off the world. Mm. But you gotta be in the world.
Yeah.
Because you cannot win people in the world without being in the world.
Of course.
You have to speak their language. You have to communicate in the language that they understand. So a lawyer is best placed to evangelize within the legal space.
Yeah.
An interior designer is best placed to evangelize within the interior design field. Right? Music, the same thing. Right? But you don't want to interact. You don't want to... So we've been taught, especially with creativity. And so when we're not taught right, sometimes those that break out and just, they get lost. Because the light isn't even effective. The embers of that light have not been fanned and stoked well. You know, it's a jungle out there. Darkness is not a joke. It's a jungle out there. I can tell that for free. So your consecration has to be solid. Your fasting routine, your praying routine, your Bible study routine, all of that has to be on point. That's how you keep yourself alive, keep yourself vibrant, keep yourself hot. As when flies do not perch on you. Jigget. It's not, I'm not saying it's cheapskates or, you know, just go. No, don't just go. Be sure that you are well cooked and well discipled, you know, forged. But some of us have to. And those who stay back in the barracks cannot be criticizing those going to war for going to war. Otherwise, the army is disjointed.
Mm.
Yes, some will stay back in the barracks to guard home country or guard home base. but you are soldiers because there's war. And some soldiers have to be posted to war. And the war front is not beans. Mm. So those back home have to be connected and be given all the support and all the resources that the guys going to war need. Mm. The Nigerian army, those who are in the war front, unfortunately now we have war front inside our country. So like Sambisa, different places, soldiers are posted there and it is regarded as war front. There is extra allowance that is given to those soldiers separate from normal pay. Why? They are at the war front. What we are doing in the body of Christ, what many are doing, is those going to the war front are castigated. They are giving them less. Do you understand? Mm. Like, we don't see it like that. We don't see it like that. I broke it down. I said, Christians, especially in art, some will play in the house. That will be their place of function. Some will be in the garden. That will be their place of function. It's an analogy. Some will be in the field. That's their place of function. Some will be in the forest. That's pure jungle.
Yeah.
The thickest of the world. Right? And you can... Scriptural basis, Ezekiel 47, the river that flows out of the temple and that is flowing into the city. The more it flows out, the farther it is from the temple. But it doesn't lose its connection to the temple because the source is in the temple. Right? So we need that connection. That's why I have to extend grace to those who do not understand. Because at the end of the day, we're still brothers. Mm. It's just that unfortunately an ignorant one.
I wanted to touch on this part. I think this year, I think your mom passed this year as well. And it was during the same period that No Turning Back was also, bubbling as well. I think
my mom passed 15th of April.
Yeah.
Mm. Released No Turning Back 16th of May.
Yeah. Wow. So 2 weeks after.
It's actually a month after. But I told you about how the snippets started coming out. So it felt like 2 weeks after.
How did you navigate the tension, and not intention, but the internal feeling of I'm dealing with grief, but at the same time, I'm also stepping into this celebratory period where it's almost like the Lord give it and the Lord take it, right? What did that feel like in that moment and how did you navigate it?
God is the grandmaster of grandmasters. I always say it, and it cannot be said better than in Pidgin. Nobody's happy plan reach God. Nobody. In January, I had the nudge to start a fast in February and to just go like that. Breaking daily, but month on month, not just days, not weeks, months. And so I started in February. I didn't know what for, but I just got on that regimen, that spiritual regimen. Our superpower as Christians is instructions, which is why you must hear God. You must be able to hear God. It's very important. If you are going to function on the earth and achieve your part of his agenda, you gotta hear. And as you follow, as you learn, that's how you learn faith. You learn to trust that voice you hear. You learn to trust those nudges, those impressions. So I had the impression to begin that. And so February... I'm tough, man. February 10 is the fast easy in a life. Tough. February, I'm on fast. March, April, my mom passes. You're even talking of no turning back. My mom passed in the right smack in the middle of planning our most recent Aramanda Festival. Aramanda Festival this year held the Saturday in Easter. We always do Aramanda at Easter. The Saturday in Easter, that was April 19th. This year, we had a pre-festival gala at the Netherlands Consulate on the 17th of April. My mom passed on the 15th. So I'm holding my mom's body on the 15th, crying, speaking, because I'm holding her in my arms. And I have this moment, like an hour, where I'm speaking. I'm crying, but I'm speaking. I'm speaking to her. Right. Enter into the joy of your maker. You've done well. You've raised the king. Blah, blah, blah. I keep going like that, an hour. And I'm the one who took her body to the morgue that same day, in the evening. There was such supply of strength that I can't explain. Of course, I was broken. I've known her all my life. She raised me. You hear me? You are hearing the legacy of Sarah Ibuye, right? I'm wearing Sarah on my wrist consistently now. Yeah? But there was this supply of strength that I couldn't explain. 17th, I'm at the consulate organizing, fantastic. 19th, Aramanda happens at Landmark. It's the biggest one yet. It's fantastic. Spotify is there. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, we're engaging with culture, engaging with institutions. You know, we have brand sponsoring Aramanda. It's a Christian gig. It's dope. If you come to Aramanda and you don't enjoy yourself, it's you, it's not us. I'm joking, but it's impossible for you not to enjoy it. It's a vibe. It's just a vibe minus the vices. So think of the highest vibe, but there are no vices, no drugs, no this. But young people looking fly, having a great time with God and fellow God lovers. That's what Aramanda Festival is. So we have a great time. And then weeks after, no turning back happens. Now you see that, the flip side. In a way, like, all of that is happening. I'm enjoying it. But I'm still, in a way, subdued. And so it also helps for that moment not to get into my head and for me not to get carried away. I'm able to see it for what it is, a tool, a means to an end, which is why we could dovetail from that to a tour. We could make merch. We could do all those things where you are extracting resource and value from that moment. God gives you a wave. You have to ride it. Most people, God gives you waves. You can't ride it. You waste the wave. You shouldn't waste the wave. God is banking on you to make the most of opportunities He brings your way. That's the parable of, not the sower, no.
The talents.
The talents. What do you do with what I give you? How do you multiply what I give you? How do you show enterprise, diligence in what I give you? You know, God is not a socialist.
You say God is not a socialist.
No, God is not a socialist. God expects you
to multiply
what He gives to you. He expects you to make the most of the resources that He puts in your hands. Right? So that helped me. But it was months after we had been on tour, we've done Germany, Italy, Czech, London, Kaduna, Bauchi, Jos, Calabar, Enugu. Like, we've gone around with no turning back. We've won over 400 souls to Christ with this song. So the song is winning in the spirit and winning in the bank.
Financially, physically, spiritually,
all the
mentally.
Every lead is winning.
Yeah.
Which I believe is what God wants.
Yeah.
You know, I Holistic. Wish that you prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's why you should come to Christ. That's why you should have a relationship with God. Because your life will be robust, will be complete. lacking nothing, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what a life in God is. So I don't know when people say they don't believe in God. I can't relate. No belief, ba. Do you understand? So it was months after that I cast my mind back and I realized that was the reason for the regimen that I was put on. So I had built spiritual stamina without knowing. Because I'm praying, I'm giving a tithe of my day to God. I'm giving 2 hours in the morning, 24 minutes in the day. There are practical steps to these things. So when I say consecration is important, you guys, we're not loafers. So let the people that are scared because of our hairstyle calm down. We're not loafers. We have consecration. Yeah. We spend time in God's presence. It doesn't just happen. That's what Lawrence said. There's no front end without back end. It's also in the spirit. You cannot see manifestation like this without consecration and preparation in the back. You know, so I believe that prepared me for this life-changing year that I've had.
You know, a lot of young men are struggling in the world today, and especially a lot of young black men, right? Whether it's a lot of us not choosing to get married anymore, people just feeling lost, right? I think for me, like my own journey back to God was, I think you leave and you go out into the world, and maybe I was chasing freedom. I didn't like being
caged.
And there's such a thing as getting too much freedom. And then when you get it, you're like, well, I have all these options, but I don't still feel centered. Peace. I don't still feel grounded. Yeah. I have almost everything I thought I wanted, but there's a void that's still not being filled, right? And I think there's this element where other people who have gone away from God feel like, how can I go back to things I told other people that I don't believe in, right? So how do I face the fact that I have to walk back to something I said out loudly, like, I no longer believe in, right? What advice would you give to people who are looking for answers and trying to find a way back to God or back to being centered? What advice do you have for those young men?
God is more desperate to have you back than you are to come to Him. God is actually more desperate to have you back. You can never love God as much as He loves you. You could never, even if, no matter how you try, you could never love God anywhere near how much He loves you. And so, you have to want that love beyond what people will say. What are people? What people will say? You need to move beyond that. Your life is at stake. Your destiny is at stake. You know, we're born for a purpose on this earth. And, you know, we're born for a purpose. Every man, every single man and woman. And is He who was there in the beginning that can help you to find it. So this is not even a religious convert. It's not a religious concept. It's like your truest essence as a being. You are missing out on it. And if you think deeply and honestly with yourself, you know that you are playing short of your most centered self. There's a you you do not know. And astrology cannot tell you.
Virgo.
Chakra can tell you. It's the energy in the room. All those, yeah. These stones. Bagbe. They can't tell you. Forget. You're chasing the wind. When you're ready to tell yourself the truth, you come to the one that is the truth. There's no your truth, my truth, that's His truth. All these nice, nice things we say now online. We like deceiving ourselves as human beings. Especially this generation that is big on information. We have so much information, so little wisdom.
Yeah.
We're high on knowledge. Wisdom is like this. when you're ready for, to be honest with yourself, you're self-aware, to be introduced to your real self, you'll find he who made you in the first place.
Yeah.
The he that knew you before your parents had sex.
Your essence.
The he that knew you, the you that pre-existed the coitus of your parents. That's, I'm not even talking of you entering the womb. They never even bang. Mm-hmm. You don't die.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a realm. And he knew you then. Then you want to live this moment of your existence. Because your time on earth is a moment of your existence. There was a moment of your existence in the womb. None of us remembers that time. But you actually existed in a woman's womb. I existed in a woman's womb at a point in time. For 9 months of my existence, I was in a woman's womb. There was a moment of my existence that preceded that moment. There will be another moment of my existence that precedes this time that I'm on the earth. So you want to live this moment of your existence without the one that has all four before his eyes. That's foolishness.
Yeah.
I go back to the first sentence. He's more desperate to have you back than you think you want to come to him. So as soon as possible, man, you run back to God. You're not running back to religion, church, but you will need the assembly of the brethren,
community,
but you're running back to God. That void needs to be filled.
Yeah.
And you know you feel that void. You can tell. So waste no more time, man.
It's funny because for me, two of my favorite quotes, one says, you can be knowledgeable with another man's knowledge, but you cannot be wise with another man's wisdom. And the second one that I feel like kept bringing me back to God was, it says, the real test of intelligence is if you get what you want out of life. But then I remember when I would reflect on that quote, it would be, what is it that you want out of life? And for you to be able to actually know what that is, it's in seasons, right? There was a time when I didn't want to be caged, then I was freed. And then there was a time when I now had too much freedom. Now I understand there's freedom through commitment. But then what is it that you're actually choosing to commit yourself to? Right. So there's so many seasons of life. And I think I came to the same conclusion that when I tried every other door, but I didn't try the God door, I'm like, it'd be like, say,
make
I try this one too, you know? So
we created the Afropolitan podcast because we wanted to make sure we tell the stories of those who came before us and those who are coming in front of us.
Our stories deserve to be documented and remembered.
And over here at Afropolitan, our drink of choice is Inveroche, which is a gin from South Africa, because we believe African brands are global. So Eche, what are you toasting to?
To our builders, our innovators, to show that Black brilliance exists worldwide.
I am toasting to African creativity. I feel like the world is just blossoming with beautiful African storytellers.
Here's to legacy.
And stories worth sharing.
So babes, I'm always talking to you about investing. How's your journey going so far?
It started because you've been on my head for the past 6 months about investing, and you'll be proud of me because I actually found an app I love. It's called RiseVest. And actually what I love about it is that you can start with $10 and it automates everything for you. So literally I just go into the app and literally it's investing for me every single day.
Yeah, because we know you're not going to be a trader anytime soon. But with RiseVest, you're going to be able to invest in US stocks, right? Fixed income, real estate, etc., right? And so I'm happy you're finally on board.
And you know, the funny thing too is I always tell my girls that as women, we're not investing enough, we're not talking about it, and we're not having these conversations. So I shared it in all my group chats. So you can find RiseVest on the Apple and Google Play Store.
Okay, make sure to use code Afropolitan so that they know that we sent you. You know how every week we sit down with people who've done it, people who've built, people who've led movements, people who've created culture. What if you could do more than just listen to them? That is why we built Convo by Afropolitan. On Convo, you're able to book one-on-one video calls with in-demand experts from Africa and the diaspora. Go to convo.vip to get access to your next mentor, because sometimes one convo can change your entire path. We're going to transition into our rapid fire segment, which is we ask you the first question. Okay. And then the first thought that comes to your head, you respond with, what's your favorite Nigerian food?
Is it the rapid
fire? Yeah, yes. It's rapid fire.
So it's not this or this, it's just to just, answer.
Yeah, just yeah. answer, yeah.
Favorite Nigerian food?
Food, yeah.
Sorry, I know it's rapid. Mm. But I just want context. You know, because the answer that came to my head, I realized it's not Nigerian okay. food.
Wait, what
food.
Is it?
Oh, spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
Oh, spaghetti. Ah. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of Nigerian now. I feel like I'm always hearing spaghetti, spaghetti. Like, I don't know. It's kind of...
In the pasta.
Yeah. Not pasta. It's specifically family, spaghetti. Yeah.
Yes, because you go to a restaurant, you say they have pasta. I have to ask them which pasta.
Pasta.
Because they're all this, especially yeah. when you go abroad.
Yeah, there's penne, there's reggaetoni.
Please, the long one that is slim.
The one I can use to tie around my
but
wrist.
It's not too slim. It's not that dangly slim.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one perfect circumference of spaghetti. Yes. Make it nicely. Put pepper snails with it.
Yeah.
And pepper some snails. Well golden brown plantain. Mm. That's it.
Okay, so that's Nigerian. You made it
Nigerian now.
That's
okay,
it.
What is your favorite gospel song that's not yours?
Born the World by Lawrence Oil and Godspeed Oil. Mm.
Okay.
There's a... it's weird. I wanted to sing it, but it's Johnson's own that's entering my head because he also has this. There's a fire inside me that is able to burn the world. But theirs is also, there's a glory because like right now, at different seasons, I have different, like, this is my favorite song, like right now. Mm. But right now, it's Burn the World.
Lawrence and what about Oil. Favorite gospel artist?
Favorite gospel artist?
Yes.
You're going to put me in trouble. Favorite gospel artist? Do I have? I'll just say the person who has inspired me the longest, Tope Alabi.
Okay.
Tope Alabi, all day, every day. I love her to bits.
And then, do you have a specific, like, because I don't want to say pastor, right, or anything like that. So I'm curious. Do you have like a specific sermon you always go to when you need a bit of like word?
Not a specific sermon. There's a sermon I've listened to the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Abrahamization of Things by Dele Oshumakinde at Wolfbeck 2022, I believe. My pastor is Pojo Yemade, the Covenant Nation. The person who has kind of influenced my thoughts the most over the last 13 years is Kunle Sorenyan, Ola Kunle Sorenyan. The person who I can hardly say no to. I was about to call the name. I just realized that if I call the name now, people will know, just find that person. And he would do what the person says. Well, but I can say it because he won't follow what you say. It's Deji Adelagun.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to say someone is my closest example of the kind of man I want to be Stage Adelagun.
Okay. And then the last question we ask every single guest on the Afropolitan podcast is, who do you want to see in that chair and whose story needs to be told?
So there's a name that came to my head, but I want to have him on Black Flame.
Abundance now.
Abundance.
You know, our version will be different.
But so the name that came to my head is Soji Alabi as Tope Alabi's husband.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'm eagerly looking for the day I'm going to engage him on a conversation. I mean, I know him, we talk and all of that, but I sit down and hear, because it's the system behind the music. Okay. People know Tope Alabi, that man... The system behind the music. So that's the name that came to my head straight off. Okay. Since it's rapid fire.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.